It's good to be here with you again. And better than that, it's good to be able to have something to say that's of eternal value. So much of what we hear and speak about has only temporary value. But the gospel of Christ has eternal value. The apostle could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Often we're ashamed of ourselves. But we're not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, not to everyone that works, not to everyone that prays, not to everyone that gives, not to everyone that tries, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. God has made the way of salvation so simple that the youngest child here can believe it and come into the good of it. It's to everyone that believes. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pray for it. You just receive it. It's God's gift. I want to read tonight a classic passage in the Word of God on the subject of salvation. It's dealing with those who are already saved. It's history pre-written, but it can be true of everyone here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 1. And you, writing to the believers at Ephesus, and you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then you come to a remarkable change. But God. That makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in eternity. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In these words that we have read together, you read very clearly the past of the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ye were dead. Is there any condition more hopeless than when a man is dead? What can a dead man do? Absolutely nothing as far as God is concerned. Until a man comes to Christ, he doesn't have life as far as God is concerned. And therefore, nothing that he ever does, how good or bad, has any value before God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not a matter of trying. It's not a matter of doing the best you can. It's not a matter of what your neighbors or friends or acquaintances think about your life. Because every one of us has to do with God. The Bible says that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl shall give account of himself to God. And your eternity depends on your relationship to God. You are dead in trespasses and sins. But then a remarkable change took place when God steps into the picture. Ye have been made alive. Dead people, spring to life. Ye have been made alive together with Christ. And what about, that's the present. We now enjoy life. Because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Everyone in this room, you can say for yourself just where you stand in relation to God. If there's been a moment in your experience when you have personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have life. And if you don't, or you haven't, you don't have life. Now God puts it in one verse in 1 John 5 and verse 12. He puts it in words of one syllable each. Listen to these words. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you received him? Then you have life. And the Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them, not to everybody, but to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born. That's the way you get life, naturally. That's the way you get it spiritually. You have to be born into the family of God, which were born, not of blood. You can't inherit it because your parents were Christians. The fact that your father and mother believe it, that doesn't help you. It may help you in some ways, but it doesn't help you as far as having life. They gave you physical life through the instrumentality of God, but spiritual life you don't have. It's not of blood. It's not of the will of the man. No pope, no preacher, no priest, no Christian here can give it to you. Nobody. It says it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of the flesh. In other words, you can't earn it. Nothing that you can do. But it says it's of God. And the passage that we read tonight says it's the gift of God. Now, what do you do to get a gift? Just receive it by faith. Ye were dead in trespasses and sins. As far as God is concerned, every sinner, and we all are sinners, some of us are sinners saved by grace, but all are sinners. Paul says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, he came for you. And the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. No one will ever be able to say, God didn't want me to be saved. No one will ever be able to say that. And the Lord Jesus has given his personal guarantee that you'll never be refused if you apply to him for salvation. He says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, first of all, he'll receive you, but then he'll never throw you out. That's a wonderful promise. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatever, cast out. And once you're saved, once you trust him, once you've received that life, he's not going to say, hey, I'm going to take that back. You can't have it anymore. He's never going to say that. Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He says, the Father's got his hand on you, and the Son's got a hand on you. You can't jump out of it. those that he knows are held by him forever. Now listen to what he says about our condition before God naturally. He says we're dead in trespasses and sins. You know what a trespass is, don't you? You go along the street and you see a sign that says no trespassing. You know what that means? Stay off of this piece of property. Trespass is when you do something that you're forbidden to do. That's a trespass. A sin is in failing to do what you ought to do, what you should do. And the grossest sin of all is the sin of rejecting the message of God's salvation. That sin of omission, you could have murdered, you could have committed adultery, you could have committed any sin under the sun, and God will forgive you for Christ's sake. But he will never forgive anyone for the sin of omission. If you don't trust the Son as your Savior, God will never forgive you for that. Paul, writing, you remember, in Corinthians says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor covetous, nor idolaters. And he names a number of other things, shall inherit the kingdom of God. That just about shuts everybody out. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but such were some of you. And it's blessedly true what we sing sometimes in a lot of our hymns, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment, there's no waiting. Now I get so irritated, I don't know about you, I pick up the phone, and now they got all these push-button things on the phone that says, if you want so-and-so, push button number one. And then it says, if you want so-and-so, push button number two, number three. And it takes, seems like an eternity before you get a human voice to speak to you. But there's no waiting as far as God is concerned. Right where you are tonight, just as you are, you can take God at his word. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now, he's writing to those who are believers. It says that was what was true for you. You once dead in trespasses and sin. But now you've been made alive together with Christ. He talks about the life that they formerly walked. He said, there were three great enemies that you had to contend with. He said, you walked in time past according to the course of this world. You want me to tell you what the course of this world is? I can tell you. This world is out. Everybody in this world is out for the same thing. Number one. They asked a politician one time, what's the greatest number in the world? He says, number one. People live their lives independently as though God doesn't exist. That's the way of this world. The way of this world. Seeking a place for self. They asked a little boy one time, they told the little boy, mother said, you know, we're here for others. And he said, well, what are the others here for? Reasonable conclusion. People live for self. That's the way of this world in which we live. You walk according to the course of this world. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, devil inspired. The prince of the power of the air. The Lord calls him the prince of this world. And you know, he's the cleverest person in the world. In the universe. Apart from God, I'm saying. The Bible says he deceives the whole world. Have you ever seen these magicians, you know, they get up in there and they do a few tricks and you say, you know, you're being fooled. You don't know how they do it, but you're being fooled. But the devil fools people and people don't even know they're being fooled. He gets the people to believe that you really need to be number one. That was the devil's idea. He said, I'll be like God. I'll be like the Most High. And people live their lives independent of God because they want to be their own God. And they've swallowed the devil's lie right from the beginning. Why, he was told, you know, you eat of this tree, you'll be just like God. You can be your own God. Isn't that nice? You can forget about the God of the universe and be your own God. Run the show yourself. Run the show as though God doesn't even exist. And that's the way people live their lives day by day. They live their lives, they eat, drink, and be merry as though God doesn't exist, as though no God at all. Abraham Lincoln said one time, you can fool some of the white people some of the time, and you can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all the time. That sounds good, but that's not true. The devil fools people all the time. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's pulled all over people's eyes, lest they believe the gospel. And how successful is it? People come and they hear the gospel preached, God's way of salvation, and they go out, it's in one ear and out the other. Isn't that so?